Thank you, Frank. Just a reminder, well, not a reminder, to those who haven't heard me try to talk lately, I'm still recovering from tongue surgery. I'm not drunk. 'Te koto te whana, o Auckland Unitarians. 'Te koto nā mai here. No mai, hire mai. Ki te hui a te rā nei. Hire mai ki te kopapa o te rā. Hire ko Clay Nelson toku and gua. No. Re ira te ra koto, te ra koto, te ra tato kato. Welcome all, church whānau and visitors, to this place of worship, virtual and physical, made sacred by Auckland Unitarians for 122 years. Welcome to those joining us remotely, and to those here in the building.
How many of me are there?
Let's try again. They're by Gene Olson. May you be brave enough to expose your aching woundedness and reveal your vulnerability. May you speak your deepest truth, knowing that they will change as you do. May you sing the music within you, composing your own melody, playing your song with all your heart. May you draw, paint, sculpt, and sew, showing the world your vision. May you write letters, poetry, biography, slogan, graffiti, the great novel, lay bare your words of love and hate. May you love even though your heart breaks again and again. And until the end of your days, may your life be filled with possibilities and courage. Does the match love the wick? Does the wick love the wax? Or the air it consumes? Yes, without question. To melt together, to burn together, to change together. The pieces of the candles must love each other. And now if you'll join with me in saying the covenant of our congregation. Love is the doctrine of this church. The quest for truth is sacrament, and service is prayer. Dwell together in peace, to seek knowledge and freedom, is from the Reverend Diane Miller. In the fall of 1981, Miller, pregnant with Graham, was serving as the new minister at First Church in Belmont, Massachusetts, when she was asked to join a committee of five to examine the Unitarian Universalist Association principles and purposes, as stated in Article 2 of the bylaws. She says, I was appointed as a young feminist minister, given that much of the impetus for change had come from women seeking more inclusive language and perspective. Miller says there was enough groundswell of people who wanted to change the language around feminism, for one thing. But there were many other reasons. People were ready for some different expressions in there. Over the next 4 years, as Miller's son was born and grew into a toddler, a new set of bylaws was born. It was a time of great creation. Graham was just 6 weeks old when he accompanied his mother to the 1982 General Assembly in New Brunswick, Maine. She says, I remember standing in the back of this big hallway, bouncing a baby, and then I had to get up and give my short report. But neither Miller nor her son was at GA in 1984 when delegates overwhelmingly voted in favor of the new bylaw, which, with amendments at GA, came to include the seven sources and seven principles and five sources that have remained largely unchanged for four decades as the faith values statement and moral guide. Today, Miller's son is a grown man, a parent himself in Salina, Kansas, where Miller lives too, in order to help out with her grandkids. Time passes. Just as people grow and change, so should human institutions. Miller believes, which is why she is delighted that the principles and sources that she and so many others work hard to forge are once again being examined. I am thrilled to see that the work we did is being revisited. Times change. We have changed. Hallelujah. A statement of who we are in our own words need not be fixed in generations past. This summer at General Assembly 2023, delegates will vote on the proposed revisions, specifically the principles and sources. Delegates will be able to offer amendments formally. And if a new version of Article 2 receives a simple majority vote of approval, a final vote will be held in 2024. While the current principles and sources are cherished by many, Miller wants you used to understand that they are neither sacred nor mystical texts. While she herself is not involved in the work of the current commission, Miller strongly supports the proposed revision. I would say what struck me the most is that love is at the center. And love is the word that now captures so many of what is special, what is holy. This is participatory theology. It is inclusive and alive, and I'm hopeful that we will together forge a new statement for these times. Her final advice was, I would say, loosen up, enjoy it, relish the fact you get to have a part in this process of a new direction. And see if that is something you can live by. I was intrigued by excerpts of Diet Miller's reflections on the proposed changes to the UUA bylaws to be voted on in June of this year at General Assembly. Diane was a young, pregnant feminist invited to be on the committee charged with revising our purposes. Her son was born during the committee's work. He was a toddler when what we know as the Seven Principles passed General Assembly in 1985. It was a radical change from such statements in the past. Her son, now a parent of two, is a parent of two, and Diane is retired. She is 74. I will join her at the end of the month. She is also delighted that the hard work of the committee she served is being revised nearly 40 years later. What struck me most is that including her generation, which is also mine, three generations of those who became UUs after 1985 have only known the seven principles as the definition of who we are. On the one hand, that's impressive. On the other, it threatens our remaining a proud living tradition. The Commission on Appraisal was established with the 1961 merger of the Unitarians and Universalists. They were tasked with reviewing who we are and giving reports no less than every 15 years. The first report came 21 years later, ultimately giving us the seven principles, thanks to women angry about non-inclusive language and the role of women in the UUA. There was opposition to the changes, but they did eventually pass overwhelmingly. The problem is that after so long, for many, the seven principles are now carved in stone, not sketched in pencil. Chris Rothbauer wrote, "The release of this draft has been met with a lot of emotions, ranging from full embrace to full rejection. It shows how important these principles have come to be to our tradition." The interesting thing, though, is that for a tradition that often expresses pride at having no creed, many of the resulting comments have made it clear that for many in Unitarian Universalism, the seven principles have become a sort of creed, something that is rigid and cannot be radically changed. The new proposal from the UUA Article 2 Commission would eliminate all seven principles in favor of emphasizing our shared values. He goes on to say, "I've never thought that because we've always done it that way, is a good excuse to do or not do something. But it is clear that for many, the seven principles have provided a grounding in their tradition." Instead, Rothbauer suggests, what the Articles II Commission is telling us is that after listening to hundreds of Unitarian Universalists from all over the country, what might be the most relevant course of action is to talk more about what values we share in common rather than principles that may or may not be relevant to our current reality. Values are more interpretable. whereas many believe we need an eighth principle to make our commitment to anti-racism completely transparent. The shared values of the article true draft make this commitment completely apparent. He is arguing against those who maintain that the seven principles are values. He's arguing against those who maintain that the seven principles are values when they are statements about truth, that is, facts. In a fact versus values article in Wikipedia, German sociologist Max Weber's Value, 1917 essay, Science as a Vocation, distinguishes between facts and values. He argues that facts can be determined through the methods of a value-free objective social science, while values are derived through culture and religion, the truth of which cannot be known through science. He writes, it is one thing to state facts to determine mathematical or logical relations or the internal structure of cultural values, while it is another thing to answer questions of value of culture. Choosing to focus on our shared value is why the Commission on Appraisal has chosen to relegate the seven principles to our historical documents. However, my greatest concern is that should those who oppose the changes hold sway and defeat the revisions to the bylaws, we could no longer claim to be the world's only living religious tradition. UU theologian James Luther Adams has said, a living tradition is not bequeathed through some law of inheritance. It must be earned, not without dust and heat, and not without humbling grace. No, the proposed changes are not perfect. Nick Pickard will have a field day, but they do meet the charge given to the committee that new principles and purposes should guide us in the transformation of ourselves, our communities, and our faith into active networks of collective care, restoration, and justice. The principles and purposes you will prepare should be a living document that challenges you use to place the liberation, in all its dimensions of all at the center of our lives. They should be honest about our past, name what we are facing and our aspirations and where we hope to be, not for just today, but looking out at the horizons. They should ask us to choose love in action as a path forward. We have the universalists to thank for our core value of love. Instead of the seven principles, the Commission offers this graphic of the proposed values in the revision. Besides being pretty, the image of the chalice with an overlay of the word love over the flame with six outstretched arms that create a circle around each of the core values and form a six-petal flower shape. Each arm is a different color, and clockwise they are interdependence, orange, equity, red, transformation, purple, pluralism, dark blue, generosity, teal, and justice, yellow. Each represents UU values. Interdependence honors the independent web of all existence. We covenant to cherish Earth and all beings by creating and nurturing relationships of care and respect. With humility and reverence, we acknowledge our place in the great web of life, and we work to repair harm and damage relationships. Pluralism celebrates that we are all sacred beings, diverse in culture, experience, and theology. We covenant to learn from one another in our free and responsible search for truth and meaning. We embrace our differences and commonalities with love, curiosity, and respect. Justice works to create diverse, multicultural, beloved communities where all thrive. Over my 9 years, you may have heard that term, beloved community, a few times. We covenant to dismantle racism and all forms of systemic oppression. We support the use of inclusive democratic processes to make decisions. Transformation adapts to the changing world. We covenant to collectively transform and grow spiritually and ethically. Openness to change is fundamental to our Unitarian and Universalist heritage. Never complete and never perfect. Generosity cultivates a spirit of gratitude and hope. We covenant to freely and compassionately share our faith, presence, and resources. Our generosity connects us to one another in relationships of interdependence and mutuality. Equity declares that every person has the right to flourish with inherent dignity and worthiness. We covenant to use our time, wisdom, attention, and money to build and sustain fully accessible and inclusive community. Our inspirations are not listed like they were in our present six sources, but these statements replace it. As Unitarian Universalists, we use and are inspired by sacred and secular understandings that help us to live by our values. We respect the histories, contexts, and cultures in which they were created and are currently practiced. These sources ground us and sustain us in ordinary, difficult, and joyous times. Grateful for the religious ancestries we inherit and the diversity which enriches our faith, we are called to ever deepen and expand our wisdom. Inclusion. Systems of power, privilege, and oppression have traditionally created barriers for people and groups with particular identities, ages, abilities, and histories. We pledge to replace such barriers with ever-widening circles of solidarity and mutual respect. We strive to be an association of congregations that truly welcome all persons who share a value. We commit to being an association of congregations that empower and enhances everyone's participation, especially those with historically marginalized identities. Freedom of belief. Congregational freedom and the individual right of conscience are central to our Unitarian Universalist heritage. Congregations may establish statements of purpose, covenants, and bonds of union, so long as they do not require that members adhere to a particular creed. Well, that's it. I genuinely hope that the revisions will pass, owning the fact that UUism has evolved, is evolving, and will choose to keep evolving. Remaining a living tradition is no small thing. Losing it means losing who we are. Thank you. Now join me in the words for extinguishing the flame, this flame. We extinguish this flame by thy life truth, the warmth of community, the fire of the commitment. Jesus, my closing words are by Emily Richards. May we leave this time together changed. May the promises we have made to ourselves about whom we want to be feel closer to the reality of who we are right now. May we share that feeling of transformation wherever you go. May it spread into every word, deed, thought, and interaction until we are changed, transformed, and transforming together, becoming our better self. The question I have for you, what values have changed in the world that our seven principles do not address?